I am J. Christian Adams, president of the Public Interest Legal Foundation. This is the Protecting Your Vote podcast. And we have something a little bit different today because the election integrity movement on the right is characterized by having so few people involved. And on the left, there's an abundance of riches. Sometimes during federal court trials, we encounter so many lawyers on the other side that there's not enough seats in the courtroom. Judge Dick Leon once referred to it as a traveling circus whenever people were trying to find seats who were working for the large organizations on the left. Sometimes they even have to sit in the jury box and in the audience. But with me today, I'm pleased to introduce you to one of the Public Interest Legal Foundation's summer law clerks, Hugo Guzman. How are you?
It's great being here with you, and it's been great spending the summer here at Public Interest.
Well, great to have you. And, you know, this is a little diversion, but it relates to election integrity because, as I said, there's so few people who care about these election law issues that are coming out of law schools, and you are one of the people. In fact, I think you are a Bradley fellow, aren't you?
Yeah, sure am. I was over in Milwaukee hanging out with the Bradley people just 2 weeks ago. It was a fantastic time.
Good. So tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from.
Well, so I grew up in east of East LA, I like to call it Whittier, California, Richard Nixon's hometown, if you're familiar with it.
Yorba Limba? Or Yorba Limba?
That's where his library is. But Nixon grew up in Whittier, California, back when it was mostly an orange growery. And he went to Whittier College. He went to Whittier High School, which is also my alma mater. So, you know, that's basically my background, coming from east of East LA, suburban Los Angeles, and really seeing how local elections transformed Whittier. Even while I was growing up, we moved from an at-large to a by-district model for our city council, and it really changed things. So I got a very early education in how important election structures and election procedures are.
So where do you go to law school?
I go to Catholic University of America, Columbus School of Law.
And you were at Whittier College in California.
Yeah, I did my undergrad there about a decade ago.
What did you do in between?
I was a reporter for about 10 years. I did mostly city politics, local politics, a little bit of the crime and education beats, but I cut my teeth on city council meetings, open late till 2 a.m. sometimes, just watching councilors grapple with these issues on a hyper-local level.
So you've been here a couple months now for the summer clerkship. What have you been doing? Now, of course, I know the answer to that, but tell everybody what some of the things you've been working on.
Well, Christian, the most exciting project that I've been working on here at PILF has been the Harris County matter. And it's really interesting because growing up, you know, I remember being 8 years old in the second grade and getting a very stern talking to by an older gentleman because I made the mistake of asking him how he voted back in the 2000 election, I believe it was, or maybe 2004. And, you know, so I got it was drilled into me at a very young age that your vote is secret. It's sacrosanct. No one should know how you voted. And that's the backbone of our democracy.
And so for the folks who are new to the issue, Harris County is a lawsuit brought by the Public Interest Legal Foundation to defend ballot secrecy because in many parts of Texas, we can look up your ballot. And if you've worked on the case, you know that there's a lot of people whose ballots are not so secret in Harris County.
It's scary stuff. You can publish it online. It takes you about 15 minutes to find all the relevant information. We know where you live and what your name is, and we can find your ballot. I think that's perverse.
Yeah. So you've had the opportunity also, not in this case, but another one, you've actually interviewed witnesses. You've gone to Texas and interviewed witnesses.
Yes, I have. It was a fantastic opportunity. And again, it really goes to show all politics is local, but for the people on the ground at that level, it really matters. They care so deeply about the community, and they care really deeply about not just how they vote, but the procedures that go into voting and making sure that their vote counts every single time.
And what other sorts of pleadings? You've worked on pleadings, I think, this summer too. Like, you've actually done drafts and briefs, and I know there's a a brief coming up that you've really had a free range on developing a lot of the arguments, I think. Is that fair?
Yeah, I'm currently working on an amicus brief that'll be going to the Supreme Court regarding another, well, it regards standing in an elections-related case. There's a federal candidate who was ruled to not have standing to judge a pretty to challenge a pretty dicey Illinois law regarding when exactly election day is.
So Hugo, Ozzy Osbourne, theater or music?
What's the difference? I mean, the guy bit the head off the bat. I mean, that's what he's known for. But going off of that, now millions of people are familiar with his music and they love heavy metal because of it.
Yeah,
I think they're one and the same. You can't be a musician at the level Ozzy was operating on and not do something theatrical every once in a while. That's part of the experience.
Stay tuned. We're going to meet some more law clerks and their fascinating stories at the Public Interest Legal Foundation right after this. Welcome back. Jay Christian Adams, and I'm on now with another one of our PILF law clerks at Public Interest Legal Foundation for the summer, Alex Reynolds. How are you doing, Alex?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Christian.
Great. Great you're here. So we had a big day today already.
We did.
Yeah.
We did.
So we want to talk about our day and learn more about you. First of all, so where do you go to law school?
So I go to George Mason University's Antonin Scalia Law School in Arlington, Virginia.
Right.
Yeah. Originally from Northern Kentucky, just south of Cincinnati, Ohio.
And where did you go to undergrad?
University of Louisville. Go Cards.
Like, isn't there like a football player in the Ravens who went there?
Lamar Jackson. You know, I got to cheer for him occasionally, but he's also, I'm a Bengals fan, so I got to.
Oh, a Bengals fan.
Yeah, so I can't cheer for him always, but like, you know, still a Louisville alum, so I'm happy sometimes when he does well.
So we could do a whole show on the Bengals because I'm a Steelers fan, but you weren't at that show, so we're going to
change it up. It would be a whole argument. Yeah.
I don't know. Well, okay.
I don't think I would win that argument.
Yeah, it never goes well for the Bengals. Okay, so you're George Mason, and I think you took election law classes there, right?
Not yet, actually. So I have, you know, strong political background, worked for a lot of like state, local, federal government positions, did a couple campaigns, but yeah, haven't gotten to work in election law yet.
Okay.
Or do an election law class.
So, but you're interested in election law.
Absolutely.
And so let's talk about what we did today. I had an interview at NPR.
Yes, sir.
These are not $30,000 microphones.
Unfortunately not, no.
Yeah, they have Sennheisers there.
Right. We don't have the government funding our microphones here.
And you came with me today to NPR studio.
Yes.
And did you notice I said the microphone said made in, do you remember? Germany.
I didn't.
Oh, yeah.
That was before the mics turned on.
Okay. Yeah. They're very fine microphones at NPR. We don't have those.
I bet we'll get these upgrades eventually.
Yeah. No, I don't think so. We'd have to do a whole donor pitch.
Can right.
Please get us
donors out there.
Right. So you were at NPR with me today. I did an interview with Miles Parks about citizenship verification and the good things the DHS is doing to make more data available to election officials. But that wasn't the end of it, was it?
No, it wasn't. We went to a Tiny Desk concert. And for people who don't know what a Tiny Desk concert is, it's a very small studio where they have famous, you know, bands and rappers, artists record a live concert in front of a small crowd. And it was pretty cool to see.
And we got asked just after the interview, like, hey, there's a Tiny Desk concert.
Right, not
like we're going there for that.
No.
Right. But what was amazing to me, I just sat there watching, thinking like they've had Vampire Weekend and Jelly Roll,
yep,
and all of these government paid for microphones and studios. I was like, this is a really cool gig. So if you're on the House Appropriations Committee, you ought to ask to get the list. You ought to ask to get the list of who's coming to the Tiny Desk concerts at NPR.
Right. I'll take that for sure. Right. I'd love to see Post Malone there or all that. That'd be great.
So that was today. Yesterday, and we'll get to the work you're actually doing.
Right.
I just want to talk about some of the last 2 days. You got to attend a hearing at the House Committee on Administration.
Yes. Yeah, they hear about the National Voter Registration Act and potential reforms for it. And it was fascinating to hear about.
I think you were in some of the shots on C-SPAN. I don't know if you...
I was. Yeah, I was trying to stay stoic the whole time. You know, I didn't want to make any weird faces or, you know, scratch my head at the wrong time. So, right. But no, it was really, really interesting to watch.
Okay, so let's talk about some of the things you worked on this summer at the Public Interest Legal Foundation as a summer law clerk. What stands out?
Yeah, so I'm really interested in appellate work. One of the first things that really got me into law is I was, you know, sitting in a Sixth Circuit en banc appellate argument, and I got to really witness that. This is before PILF, and it really got me interested in that. So it was great that one of the first things I really got to sink my teeth in on was a Sixth Circuit case,
yeah,
as well as Third Circuit and I believe Eighth Circuit case on a petition for rehearing en banc. And working on those petitions from the first week on, it was a lot of work, but it was fascinating to work on.
Yeah, and you kind of got thrown into like just do pleadings. Like it wasn't like,
yeah,
you know, like go do a document review, as I recall. And you were working on
actual pleadings. Yep. So we got to do some really in-depth research from week one, work on blue booking, site checking, all the in-depth legal analysis too. So it was, you know, something that I know a lot of my buddies, they work at different public interest firms or different law firms, and they're all having good experiences, but nothing as in-depth and, you know, as many opportunities as PILF has given me.
Well, we wanted to give you that. So talk about next year, you'll be a what L?
I will be a 2L, second year law student.
Yeah. And do you have any sense of what you want to do when you graduate?
So I'm planning on going back to Kentucky. That's the goal eventually, either, you know, right after graduation or a couple years after graduation. That's where both me and my fiance are from, my family. I would like to do appellate work out there, maybe solicitor general's office, maybe doing some more like litigation in a private firm. But, you know, whatever I could do, like, you know, serve the Commonwealth and do all that.
Sure.
That's the goal right now. But I'm really interested in seeing how I could use what I've learned at PILF too in election law and see maybe Secretary of State's office as an avenue as well.
So you've been around for some of the discussions we've had about legal writing.
Yes.
And how what we perceive to be happening in the courts based on what judges are telling us and other training that we've gotten. Does it differ a little bit from what you're learning in law school?
Definitely. Yeah. Now, Scalia Law has a great legal writing program, you know, really teaching you about the formatting and the style and research. But, you know, in terms of like your audience, I think I really learned a lot about that, like appealing to the law clerks and appealing to the judge and making sure like your statements are standing out to them the most and making sure you're making your argument in the most effective and concise way. That's not something that you don't learn in law school.
I kind of feel bad for you guys because when we have these discussions about legal writing tactics, I feel like we're grafting them onto what you're learning in law school unnaturally, right? Because you have to learn the basics first before you can start to really use fireworks.
For sure. Yeah. It's something just to keep in the arsenal for down the line. Yeah. But no, I've loved it so far. It's been really, really helpful learning. We just got such a talented team of lawyers who've been practicing for decades and just a really awesome down-to-earth team who just taught me so much.
Well, cool. Very months. Thrilled to have you here. So thanks for coming. Thanks for going to that concert today. Totally
Absolutely.
Unexpected. It was a wild show and so much we could say about our visit to NPR, but
yep,
we'll save that for another day. So we're going to be right back after this with yet another one of PILF's Summer Law Clerks. Stay tuned. Thanks for tuning in. We're back with yet another one of our PILF Law Clerks. Theo DeRosa, how are you?
I'm good. Good to be here.
Good. Well, we've been talking with everybody here, Alex and Hugo, and you guys have like been working as a team. I wish we almost could show everybody how closely you're working together. That's a joke about where you're sitting, but that's not my choice. All right. So you are at what law school?
I'm at the University of Cincinnati College of Law.
And how do you like it?
So far, I like it quite a bit. First year of law school was a great experience, and I'm looking forward even more to the next two.
It gets easier.
Yeah, that's what I've heard, and that's also what I'm hoping for.
When you're in law school at a school like Cincinnati, do you get to or do you want to go to like either the basketball or football games? Because they kind of have a real program there.
Yeah, they do. They have a couple of pretty big programs. I haven't had the opportunity to go to many of them, but I did get to go to one of their football games. But that was mostly because my sister's school, TCU, was in town.
Okay.
It was a big family thing, and we all went to that in the winter.
Where do they play?
They play at, I think it's called Nippert Stadium, which is like right in the middle of campus.
Okay.
Right there, short walk from where the law school is.
So where did you go to undergraduate?
Miami University. And Miami University in Ohio.
Yeah. What, now, they used to be called something different. They changed their name, didn't they?
The mascot? Yeah. They were the Redskins up until sometime in the 90s, and then they became the Red Hawks, which is what they've been ever since.
Got it. They have sort of a pretty good program there too, I think, at Miami of Ohio.
For sports?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they're pretty good for, like, they're in the MAC for most sports, but their football team has been doing really well the last couple of years, and so it was pretty neat to get to be there as a student when they were really becoming pretty successful.
Right.
They used to have a very strong hockey program for several years, and I grew up as a big hockey fan. And I was,
in Ohio?
Yeah.
How's that possible?
Well, so my dad is from New England.
Okay.
He grew up playing hockey.
So you probably don't know what the Barons are.
No, I don't think so.
Cleveland had an NHL team for like one season.
Okay, yeah. I think I remember hearing something about that. I know there was another pro hockey league, and they merged several decades ago.
So tell me what got you interested in doing election law.
So I had worked on a couple of political campaigns, either as a volunteer or as an intern back in college. There were two big ones in particular that stand out in my memory. One of them was working for a PAC or super PAC down in Georgia during the Senate runoff in late 2020, early 2021. And then another was when I was a campaign intern when J.D. Vance was running for the Senate in Ohio back in 2022. And those were both very different experiences, but an important thing I picked up from both of them was how important people's votes are to them. Because a lot of what I was doing was just, it was the grunt work. It was going door to door and knocking. And you got some good responses and good conversations and also some really nasty ones. And same with phone calls. But a common theme that I would see with a lot of people is there was not a whole lot of trust in institutions, but they still had some hope that their vote might matter, that it might make a difference. And I didn't start thinking much about election law until a while after that, probably until I was in law school. But I wanted to learn how the law really forms the foundation for our democratic institutions and shapes the balance of power in this country and decides whether or not people get a voice, because I think that's what's most important.
So this week, you got a chance to go to a congressional hearing.
Yeah.
Was that your first one? Or?
Yes, it was.
So what sort of observations did you have about, and this is the Committee on House Administration.
Yeah.
That is the election law, essentially the election law oversight committee. I was testifying, so you came along, and you've been helpful on a large range of things. I don't know if you worked on my testimony or not, but if you did, thank you. If not, it was wonderful. What did you think of that hearing, like the whole scene?
I thought it was a very interesting experience. I think some tried to use it for like a 5-minute monologue,
which, literally 5 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. But I thought when, you and the other witnesses were given a chance to answer questions, I thought it was really eye opening, and, it was good to also see some representatives who were clearly very knowledgeable already or wanted to learn more and wanted to talk about how there could be positive changes made in their states and across the country.
Right. So what are some of the things you've enjoyed working on? Hopefully something this summer. Like what are the things you've been working on that you enjoy?
Yeah. So probably my favorite project so far has been getting to draft an amicus brief for an upcoming case in Kansas. And that's been about fusion voting. And so I've gotten to do a lot of research on that topic, which I'd never even heard of before. And dive into some of the case law and also some of the history and learn a lot about how elections used to be done in this country and how the ballot has changed over time. And then some of the arguments being made about what is the purpose of the ballot? What should that be? So that's probably been my favorite so far.
And if I'm correct, I think either you're doing close to the first draft or the first draft of the brief.
For the amicus?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've already finished a draft and then, I've gone back and forth with Sam, done a couple of rounds of edits. So I think we're coming up on a final copy pretty soon.
Cool. Cool. Well, I look forward to that because it's an unheard of concept and kind of radical to think that it's like if I recall correctly, a constitutional right they're trying to argue.
Yeah. Yeah. They're trying to argue it's a state constitutional right. They tried to make, there was an argument that went before the Supreme Court back in the 90s that tried to make that case under the federal constitution. It failed. So there have been a couple of states since then where they've tried to do that at the state level. So far, I don't think it's worked anywhere, at least not before the courts. I do know New York allows it, but I don't know if that's a matter of the New York Constitution or it's just because they decide to.
Right. So is there any other particular experience that has been enjoyable besides the future and voting brief? We haven't rehearsed this, so I'm kind of curious.
Yeah. So in my first week here, and it was also the first week for the other quirks, we were working on like three big briefs or petitions for appellate courts. And I got to collaborate with the other quirks on the process of editing and reviewing those and going through and doing tables. And since we were on such a tight timetable, I think it really brought us pretty close together as a team and also gave us this very quick introduction into these three cases that we're dealing with, some pretty important questions in election law. And so I got to learn a lot in that first week and also got to work pretty closely with the other quirks.
This brings back bad memories in the sense of deadlines, right? I think like around Memorial Day, it was like we had like at least three briefs due in courts of appeals around the country. I remember you guys played an important part in getting those finalized. So it was tremendous you were here. Believe me, it was like that was a onslaught on schedule.
Yeah, and it was also, although it was very high stress, it was also very exciting. And I think we realized we were working on something that's very important.
Yeah, cool. Well, it's so great to have you. And I hope you learn a lot and are able to use some of what you learn, even if it's just a legal writing skill one day. So it's great to have you, too.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much.
So there you have it. We've met our three summer clerks, learned a little bit out of election law, things like fusion voting that many people can't even imagine. And if you're interested in possibly joining the team, please go to our website, publicinterestlegal.org, and look for opportunities where you too can get involved in the fight for clean elections that we can all trust. I'm Jay Christian Adams. For more information, go to publicinterestlegal.org. Thanks for listening.